Look in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and verse 24. The Bible says, in those days Hezekiah was sick to death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart, both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. You can be seated this morning. Lord, help us this morning. I'm trying to preach what you give us. And Lord, we pray that you'd help the heart here that might need instruction, might have one here that's lifted up in pride. Pray that this message would be a warning and that to all of us, and that what pride can do and will do in our life. I pray as we preach tonight for strength. Lord, we certainly need you. You know that we've been struggling this morning about what to preach. And so, Lord, I pray that you would touch us now and encourage us with the message from your word. Lord, we're just sorry for every time we've failed and for every time that we've come short. But, Lord, we certainly just need a touch from heaven, need power from on high, and that to preach. And, Lord, we'll tell you again that we love you and thank you for all that you've done for us, the blessings of this life. And save that sinner to nearest hell. For these things in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. As we look at this story right here about King Hezekiah, most of us know the story of what's happening. If you look in Isaiah chapter 38, you'll find a time when Isaiah Nat goes to King Hezekiah, and God has told him in that to get his house in order, for he's about to die. Hey, I can tell you today that we need to keep our house in order. We can slip out of here at any time and leave this life. And the Bible says that King Hezekiah and that turned his face to the wall and wept and made some things right with God. And God gave him another 15 years. Now, if you look prior in these verses right here that we've read, you'll find that the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem has been laid besieged and had by King Sennacherib. You'll find that he's come and he's going to fight. And you'll find that Hezekiah has told his people in the earlier part of the chapter. He said, with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. Now that's what the king said. He said, God is with us. Ain't you glad today, that friend, that when the battle gets to raging, that the Lord is with us. Amen. Hey, I'm glad that Jesus is on my side. I preached at the nursing home just there Friday out of the book of Psalms on the Lord is on our side. Hey, I'm glad the Lord is for me. Amen. Hey, I'm glad he loves me and wants to see me win the battle. And he said, and the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Now I want you to imagine what's going on here for just a second. The king knows that another king is a-coming. And so he says, we are going to rest in the Lord. We're going to trust God and that to handle this thing. You know, sometimes it gets hard just to trust God to handle some things, don't it? I mean, a lot of times we want to fight. A lot of times I said the other day to myself, I said, man, sometimes I wish that Satan could be manifest in the flesh to where I could punch him. And as soon as I thought that, I thought, man, I hope he never gets manifest in the flesh because he'll be greater than I am, that's for sure. But I'm glad there's one that I serve, and one that's greater in me than he that's in the world. But I get tired of Satan. But listen, so here the king is. He says, you need to rest upon the Lord. And they do that, and God defeats King Sennacherib. We find that here that God has saved Hezekiah and the children of Judah. We find that God has spared him in his life in verse 24 and gave him a sign. What was that sign? Isaiah come to him and said, do you want the sun to go down 10 degrees or do you want it to be brought back 10 degrees that God has healed you? And King Hezekiah said, it's a light thing for the sun to go down 10 degrees, but if God moves it back 10 degrees, he said, I'll know that he's heard and answered my prayer. And so God moved the sun back about 10 degrees. You say, how far is that? The best I could study was about 20 minutes. And so God just kicked everything in reverse and backed it up. Now imagine what's going on. King Hezekiah has fought the battles and God has won. He has fought in that physical battles and God has spared his life. And even by a sign of moving the sun backwards in the sky, God answered him. Now, don't you think that you'd want to serve God all your life the best that you could if the Lord has done all these things for you? But I want you to look at what happened in verse 25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. Look in verse 26. When he does get right, he said he humbled himself for the pride of his heart. I want you to listen to me this morning, because this is a sin and a subject, friend, that affects everybody from this pulpit to you sitting on the pew. And that's being lifted up in pride. If I could, for a minute or two, I want to preach on the working of pride. Pride, when it enters in, you know what pride is, don't you? It's an inordinate esteem or an unreasonable conceit of our own superiority. Boy, I said that word right. I've worked on that word and worked on that word. Listen, he said that it is an unreasonable conceit. In other words, friend, we think more of ourselves than we ought to think. We think more of us than we do of God. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. If God defeated the other king so that we were delivered, and God comes to me and says, you're going to die, and he moves the sun back to show me that he heard my prayer and that I'm healed of that disease, I would think that I would want and that to praise him the rest of my life. But the Bible said right here that Hezekiah done what? That he rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him. You know, every time that God answers our prayer and every time that God moves, we ought to praise him. He is worthy of our prayer. Whether God moves or not, he is worthy of our praise. But God had done something great for Hezekiah. And the Bible said right here that he rendered not again according to the benefit. And I say that number one, first of all, that pride, when it works in our life, makes us unthankful and ungrateful. Pride will make you think that you don't owe anybody a thank you. Pride will get you to thinking that you don't have to get on your knees and thank heaven for what's happened in your life. When's the last time you just either gathered up around the altar here at home, gathered up around the coffee table, gathered up in a secret place in your home and just thank God and that for all that he's done? You know why that I've not done that and you don't do that on a regular basis? We don't think it's necessary sometimes. You say, well, I'm too busy. I've got too much going on. I just don't think about it. And that to render and that to God, what is his? Shame on us. If your time is so too busy and that to say thank you to God and be grateful to what he's done, there's too much pride in your life today. Your time is not your time. My time is not my time. I feel hypocritical preaching messages like this because I know what I am. I know what I am. I'm sorry and low down. I mean, I'm no good. I know what I am in my flesh. I know what I am in my mind. I listen, but he rendered not again. I'm just going to tell you, I got to thinking the other day about what the Lord had done for me and brought us through and allowed us to have. Some of you ought to just go home and sit down and look at what you've got. I'm honest today. Some of you ought to go home and sit down and look around at the house that you're living in, the vehicles that you're driving, the food that's sitting in your cupboard and in your refrigerator. And boy, I tell you what, when I forget when it was. Me and Kelly was talking, we went to the grocery store last night and we had got stuff, and I told her coming up on the front porch, I said, there's people in this world that would love to have the money that we spend on groceries. I said, these groceries will last us for a little while. But the money that we spend on them, they could take it and probably live months on the money that we spend on them groceries. And I go in my house and we make three or four trips. I am back, going back and forth to the car to get groceries and take them in and stock our cupboard and put them in our refrigerator so that we'll not be hungry. And then we're too ungrateful and too thankful to say anything to God. Here stands Hezekiah, man, that God has defeated the enemy for. Here stands Hezekiah, man, that God has healed and brought him from a sure death. And the Bible said that he rendered not again unto him. How many times has God come by and answered your prayer? How many times has God come by and seen your pitiful condition and my pitiful condition, and he's done something for us? How many times? How many times have we sat there and just seen God move and God work, and yet we never thought to thank him and to praise him? I can tell you today that the world is an ungrateful and an unthankful world. If we look in Romans chapter 1, I believe one of the problems that they come to in their life in Romans chapter 1, when they had forsaken the God of heaven, it tells us something about these wicked people and the time that they had got to. The Bible says that at one point that they were what? That they were unthankful. The Bible said that they didn't see God. The Bible said in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They seen themselves. The world out there, do you think the world out there today is thankful for the rain that falls, for the sun that shines, for the food sitting in their cupboard, for the health that they have? I don't think they are. And friends, sometimes I don't think I am either. And so here he sits, and he is yet to thank God and praise him. He said, but Hezekiah rendered not again to the benefit done unto him. I thought about the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, as the Lord Jesus is talking to the seven churches in Asia Minor. And in Revelation chapter 3, he comes to them, and unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Now look what they said. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. The problem with the church at Laodicea in the church age that we're living in is folk are not grateful for what the Lord has done. I listened to some of y'all testify this morning, and you sounded, and probably were, no doubt, I mean, we're grateful for what the Lord had done for you. I'm glad to be saved. I ain't lost no more. Hey, I've been found. I've been made part and out of the family of God. I've been made part of Him. And He's been made part of me. And I'm His. I can't be taken away. I thank God for that today. Amen. Boy, we are all ought to shout on that. I'm His. I'm His. Boy, I'm telling you, that ought to just tickle you. I listen today that you're His. I'm no longer yours anymore. But I want you to look at what happened to King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah has seen God move. King Hezekiah has seen God work for him, but he does not render again. He has failed, and that to praise the Lord. You know, it's awful hard to be thankful for what God's done in your life when pride's there. When you think more of you than you do of God. When I think more of me than I do of what the Lord done. He done something here for King Hezekiah that he could not do on two accounts. I'm talking about a time when God done something for you that you could not handle, you could not take care of, you could not make it through it. You would have been destroyed if God hadn't showed up. We find even a time that right after God had moved in Hezekiah's life, you'll find that he actually did in the book of 2 Kings, I believe it is, that he had a prayer that he gave to the Lord. But something has happened at this time. Something has taken place that has brought Hezekiah and that to a place to where he has not stayed true to God, and he has raised and lifted his heart up and that against God. In Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 16, what's it say? Yea, these six things the Lord hate, yea, seven are these six things the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the very next verse in verse 17 says, a proud look. The very first thing that he puts on the list that he hates and calls an abomination is pride. He hates that. He hates pride. What got the devil in trouble? What got Satan Lucifer in trouble in heaven? Pride. He wanted to be lifted up and that above the God of heaven. What has he always wanted and that out of this world? He's always wanted praise and worship, hadn't he? Right? Is that not one of the things that he told the Lord Jesus Christ, the very one that loved us and died for us? He said, look, he said, if you I will just praise me. He said, if you will just fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms right out here. And so the Lord Jesus Christ turned with his word and said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only. And so, when we let pride build up, as I studied this, I thought about how sneaky pride is. It's sneaky. Now, to say that we fall off into sin is a misnomer and an untruth, because we always do it with our eyes wide open. There's nobody that has ever got caught up in sin by accident. Amen? You may think you got there by accident, but you knew what you were doing when you done it. And when you got done doing it, you may wish that you hadn't done it, but you done it anyway. And so here we are. But I thought about how sneaky pride is. It starts as a little seed in our mind and begins to tell us that we are better than what we are. Preacher, I speak a lot of times from a preacher's viewpoint, because that's what I am, from a pastor's viewpoint. That's what I know. And I know that standing behind this pulpit, I know that you have to be very, very careful, and that with pride. Because there's one thing that Satan wants to do is to ruin the preacher and ruin the... Not only does he want to ruin you, he wants to ruin me. You know, that's the reason that he tells us over there in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 when he lays out the qualifications for a bishop over there. He says, not a novice, lest he be lifted up, you see. Let me go read that. I read that while I was studying this. 1 Timothy chapter 3. He said, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. So notice what he said, when you get lifted up with pride. I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's coming a day somewhere that you end up what? Falling. I hate pride. I hate pride in my life. It tells us, pride tells us that the rules does not apply to us. Pride tells us that the Word of God does not, how can I say this, apply to us. I guess that's the right way to say it. The Word of God, we can break it as we choose and nothing is going to happen. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. I believe this is where we need to be. We find the story of King Uzziah. Now notice we've dealt with King Hezekiah, a man who God has moved for, a man who God has kept him alive. He was on his deathbed and God come by. Then all the people, look in verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, now pay attention, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Well, ain't that a wonderful thought right there? You know what? You know what little John tells us over there? He said, I hope you prosper even as your souls prosper. Little John said, hey, listen, if you will prosper spiritually in the Word of God and in the work of God, I believe God will prosper you. Does that mean you'll be rich? No. But I do know that God will take care of us. And if you read on down through these chapters in verses 6 through 13, you'll find out that everything that God had done for King Uzziah, he built him up, he made him a great king, he made him be able to be wise and that in battle and all these things. And in verse 14, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts, shields and spears and helmets and habergons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Reckon who marvelously helped him. Notice, marvelously. Not only help, but marvelously helped. In other words, when you stand back and you really look at King Uzziah's life, you say, how did all that happen? Have you ever stood back and looked at your life and say, how did all this happen? Do you know that I look about pastoring this church at times, I lay in the bed and I say, who am I that God has allowed us to do what we've been able to do? Who am I that God will bless this church just because I'm pastoring here, just because I am? Who am I? I've seen better men than me pastor churches and struggle a lot more than I have. I've seen our little old churches struggle and that more than we have. And I lay in the bed at night and I think about, who am I? Who am I? That God would do marvelous things just for me. Notice he was marvelously helped. But then look in verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Again, speaking from a preacher's viewpoint, there's a lot of times that men think that they carry the power of God in their pocket. And when they stand to preach, that God is just going to show up and God is just going to move. And I am so afraid that sometimes that I think that way, that my prayer time is not important, that my study time is not important, that, oh, I can work up an outline and just get up and preach and God will show up. It don't work that way. Hey, it don't work that way just for the choir to get up and sing, friend. Hey, somebody better be praying. Lord, when the choir gets up, hey, we need you to come by. I'll never forget years ago, some of y'all know this. And I don't want, now listen to me now, okay? Now listen to what I got to say, okay? Because I don't want you to take none of this wrong. Because I know some of you all love this song. See, I can put this delicately. I do not really care for page 409. I mean, I have no lies to tell. We all have songs we like and songs we don't like. But I'll never forget on Wednesday night, we were singing page 409 in the choir. And you know what starts out? Tempted and tried, we're off made to wander. And we get down to that last verse in verse 3. I'm going somewhere. And it says, when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky. I was standing on this side of the choir. This was in the old choir often. I was standing on this side of the choir and was singing a song that I really don't care for. I mean, it's a great song. The music is just not real good for me. I don't want y'all to hate me because I don't like that song. Amen. I know some of y'all love that song. That's fine. That's great. I'm sure I like some that you don't like. Okay. I listen. But that's okay. And I remember on this side of the choir, I heard the loudest type of shouting over on this side of the choir. And I'm thinking to myself, man, God's doing something over there. Now listen. That was marvelous to me to sit there and watch. You say, what do you mean it was marvelous to sit there and watch? Because I was a little lifted up in pride because, like I told you, I really didn't like that song. It's a good song, got good words. The music is just, it just seems to drag us along a little bit. But you know what? I learned something that day singing that song is that God can do marvelous things in people's lives. And boy, when they get reminded of it, they want to praise him and want to thank him. Marvelous, marvelous. Somebody seen it as marvelous. Where was I? Now that y'all hate my guts. Don't hate my guts. Amen. I sing that song with joy in my heart now, okay? I'll do it from here on out. But I want you to look. I promise you I'll do that. But when he... Watch Jeff come and sing it for invitation hymn. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to what? To his destruction. What am I talking about? I've got off track, but I was talking about you believe, listen to me now, that the rules don't apply to you. Pride. What did he do? Watch what happens. Watch what happens. The Bible said, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Was not his position. Was not his job. He was not supposed to do that. God gave that unto the tribe of Levi and that of the house of Aaron. The priests, they were to do that job. And here comes the king. He is lifted up in his pride because he's been made strong. He's been marvelously helped. He has followed God. He has served God. He has done what the Lord has wanted him to do. And now in his pride, he has said, I'll go do the priest's job. There was a group of men took their pastor into a side room one time. And they were all sitting around in a circle. And they said, Preacher, one of them spoke up and said, we just don't like what you've been preaching. And the old preacher looked up. Maybe a young preacher, I don't know. But he looked at him and said, God called you to preach? And he said, no. He said, then just keep your mouth shut. And he got up and walked out the door. What are you talking about, preacher? It wasn't King Uzziah's job to go do that priest's job. It wasn't his job. But he's done what? He's got lifted up in pride. Verse 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord. Now watch what it says. That were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Now stop right there for just a minute. If he would have been a smart man, he would have said, okay, and left the house of God. They gave him the truth. You may be the king. God may have helped you all these years because you followed him and done what he said to do. And God made him prosper as long as he sought God. But he overstepped his bound. Why? Because the Bible said that he was lifted up. He was prideful. So he says, you need to leave. Verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even arose from his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. You know, the book of Proverbs is right when it says that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So number three, I really ain't been keeping up with them, but judgment comes. Because of pride, judgment comes. If we remain in pride, if we remain lifted up, if we remain in that place when we have been showed that we're prideful and that we're lifted up, hey, you know what's coming? Judgment. You know what's coming for nations that are lifted up in pride? Judgment. You know what's coming for people that's lifted up in pride? Judgment. Hey, listen, the sinner may stand out there and shake his fist at God and tell him that he don't believe in him or tell him that he's angry with him or tell God, and he may stand there and curse him for him. But I'll tell you what, there's coming a day when he will be judged for his sin. You know what keeps that fella from getting saved? Pride. crying. So destruction comes. It came to David. David was judged for the pride that was lifted up in his heart when he took Bathsheba. He was judged in the very fact for that the murder of Uriah. Nathan comes to him, tells him, "Thou art the man, David." And the sword never departed from his life. So God strikes Uzziah, and that with leprosy. Judgment came. Can I tell you, as long as we want to fool around with pride, judgment's going to come. But we go back to the text verse, and we find in verse 26, after Hezekiah was lifted up, therefore there was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. See, the wrath of God came. We think that it works like this. We think that one day that God answered prayers, the next day Hezekiah made his prayer, the next day Hezekiah got lifted up in pride, the next day God sent judgment, and all in our mind it works that way. But all this is over a period of time. Weeks and months, maybe even years. God sends warning. You know, for me, I take this as a warning for me. If you're not lifted up in pride, I would dare say you need to take it as a warning also. But if you are lifted up in pride, if God is shining in your heart that there's pride in there and that it is creeping up on you, you better do something with it. I've told you all this story many times, but as I was preaching revival a few years ago, as folk would go out the back door and would just shake my hand and tell me how great of a job I'd done. That's great preaching. Wonderful preaching. I ain't heard preaching like that in years. I mean, I heard everything that people could say about how good the preaching was. And by Tuesday night, that was on Monday night, by Tuesday night I heard the same thing again. Going out the doors, I shook their head. Just great preaching, marvelous preaching. Man, did they hear the same thing that I heard? But I remember getting in the car, and I remember heading toward town. I remember where I was on Highway 58. And I remember telling the Lord, "You're going to have to help me with this. Because this thing's going to get away from me if I ain't careful." We get to believe in what everybody tells us sometimes, and it gets us in trouble. But I want you to look at what Hezekiah done, verse 26. He done what? Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. So what did he do? Well, he got right with the Lord, didn't he? He recognized the pride. God had showed him the pride in his heart. He was lifted up in pride. But God come by some way, somehow. And in verse 26, he humbled himself for the pride of his heart. He come to a place where he realized that it was not him that done these things, but it was the Lord. He came to a place where he realized that he needed God on his side, that he could not do those things himself. He come to a place where he realized that it was all about the Lord and not about him. But when we realize that it's all about him and not about us, we'll be sitting in sackcloth and ashes wanting to get right with God. As I close this morning, the Bible tells us something in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. He talks or tells us in that about being lifted up in pride and being right with Him. He said, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another." Now watch what your Bible says. "And be clothed with humility." That is the opposite of pride. Humility is a lowliness of us. And pride is a lifting up. "For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." God does the exaltation. We do the humbling. You follow what I'm saying this morning? If you want to be, listen. And again, fellas, if you want to be a good preacher, you live for Him and you serve Him, but you humble yourself every way that you know how to get low. I listen in your mind and in your heart. You get as low as you can before God and before people in humility. Hey, listen, if you want to serve God and have the hand of God upon your life, your home, your job, everything that you're at, get low before Him and serve in humility. And you know what He'll do? He'll exalt you. God does the lifting up. Let's bow our heads this morning, if we would, across the house. I'll give you the thoughts that God's gave me this morning. Pride. How much pride you got in your heart this morning? Any? You say, it's pride that makes me do a good job. That's not the kind of pride I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of pride that lifts us up and makes us think that we've really done something. That we really are somebody. I'm talking about that pride, that friend, that cuts us off from God. That kind of pride that makes us think that we can sin and be okay. That kind of pride that tells us we don't have to be separated out of this world and be okay. That kind of pride that tells us that our testimony is not that important, that we can live however we want to, we're saved, we'll get to heaven. That's pride. But Jeff, would you come? Let's get a verse of invitation this morning. But pride. Pride. What are we going to do with it? Pride not only cuts us off from the Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, but friend, pride and that is going to cause us to fall. Pride is going to cause us to have the wrath of God upon our life. Judgment is going to come because of pride. Pride. 46 times you find that word in your King James Bible. And you learn that pride is never good. And when it gets in our heart, it's going to ruin us. I've got many books of outlines at the house. And there's one, I believe, out of 1966 that I hold on to. And one of those titles of them old messages in there is The Sin That's Took the Shout Out of Church. And that's the title of the message. And it's pride. But what's took the shout out of you? What's took the joy out of you? The happiness out of you? Pride. It slips in if we're not careful and get us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help in this invitation. You know folks' hearts. You know what they need this morning. Lord, I've just tried to preach what you give us. We struggled and had to try to find your mind this morning, but I truly believe this was the message for the hour. And Lord, I pray that it's touched folks' hearts this morning. Lord, I don't want pride in my life. There may be somebody here today that, Lord, is lifted up in pride, and that's what's keeping them from coming and getting saved. They just won't give up. They won't give in. But there may be folk in that dealing with sin today, and they won't give it up because of pride. Don't let us think more of ourselves than what we really are this morning. Because we are... we are what we are because of you, Lord. And thank you for it. Help in this invitation for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.